We back again, episode 5, Cross Visions Podcast. As always, we talk politics, fashion, hip-hop, the conscious agenda, government, any new thing trending. You know, I'm back again as always. I got a lot of things on my mind. You know, the last episode, we went hard, we exposed a lot. But this episode, we're going to go even deeper, you know. There's too many agendas out here to try to separate or regulate them all. I believe they're all part of one constant agenda, which is to keep us distracted, which is to keep us focused on the wrong things. Why is that? Why do they want us focused on the wrong things? Because if we're focused with mainstream entertainment, partying, and all the other things they put out here, then we're distracted from what's really going on with the planet. No one truly knows what's going on with the planet. No one knows if the ozone layer is depleting. No one knows if a comet may be approaching. No one knows if they're even trying to, the rich are trying to go to Mars and leave us here all alone. No one knows. But the agenda at hand is to keep us distracted and also keep us divided. You know, I don't encourage the unification of both races, because us as black people, when I say us as black people, aren't unified with each other. So we can never unify with anyone else if we're not unified with ourselves. If we're not unified with the family that we have right now, then we cannot move forward and go to table with any other family. If we try to go to table with any other family and we're not together as a whole ourselves, then we will be due to be conquered again. We will be due to be slaves again, to be put in those chains once again. I ask you one question. Is the ultimate problem the war against the other race, or is the ultimate problem the war against each other? As blacks, African American, even if you're African, even if you're Caribbean, anything of color, that brown melanin skin, you part of this family. Is the war against my oppressor, or is the war against each other? The war is against my oppressor, but the biggest war that needs to be pointed out is the war that we have against each other. You walk in the store, you look at your brother, you instantly get mad. Why? Because you look at him as a nigga. You ready to take him out as a nigga. And that's the truth. You walk in the store, you might see a white guy. You cower down. You know why? Because you feel if you touch that, he's untouchable. Why do we shoot our brother dead in the street, but we don't shoot a cop that pull up on the block, choke up our women and children? Let's be honest about something. The unification of the black family is the biggest agenda. The biggest agenda. Once we learn that, once we gain that insight to do that, then we will be unstoppable. The reason why they work overtime to keep us distracted or do what we can to keep the black man happy, black woman happy, let them be free, let them get money and this and that, because they don't want us to take over this world once again. And when I mean take over this world, I don't mean build or form something of control to take over everybody and be the leader. When I mean take over this world, I mean use this world for its natural function. Use the natural resources. Right now, we're killing the planet with everything we're doing. Even the energy that we're putting out, we're killing the planet. Mother Earth looking at her seeds and children like, what the hell I done created? Literally. I ask you, people. Why do we war against each other instead of warring against the other? Why do we war against our brother instead of our oppressor? These are the questions I ask. These are the questions I search for insight for. You know, headline news, they talk about the Trump impeachment, how they're trying to get him out before Thanksgiving. You know, they're trying to stop him from being able to run again next term. And they also say, I keep hearing this a lot, they also say that the Russians are trying to take over America. Now, if I'm wrong, that's not my problem. That's my oppressor's problem. We helped our oppressor in the Civil War. And what do? We got regulated. We got marginalized. They created night watchmen and turned them to police to brutalize us. We got lynched. We got tortured. We got hung. So I ask you, what's really going on? Because it's like Pac said, I see no changes. They want us to worry about Russia. They want us to worry about the state of America, when for hundreds of years, no matter who's been in their office, my people have still felt death and oppression, marginalization. So why should I care now? If the Russians take us over, if the Asians take us over, they still gonna treat us like a nigga. So tell me, why should I repeat, and why should my people repeat and fight and try to build this nation up like we did during the time of the Civil War, when we already know once we do that and we put you back on top and back in the place in which you are, you're not gonna look back at us. You're not gonna try to throw anything down for us. You know, you want to put Obama as a president so it could cause unification of both blacks and white, because you knew we were on the brink of Russian collusion or wars at bay, and we needed everyone to be together. They needed everyone to be together. So just in case a war happens on home front, home soil, we're all unified to fight as one. But that's not the agenda. They keep trying to hide the fact that young black males, young black females, I even see an old man are being brutalized and being, some are, half are being killed, locked up. We call this like, lynching. This is a new form of lynch. It's the new 21st century lynching. But you try to hide that. But you want to promote unification. You can't hide that and promote unification at the same time. Let's pay attention to what's going on, people. What's going on is the distractions that are put at bay is to make us go along with the mainstream agenda. So that, like Kanye said, you may not like this, but like Kanye said, we gonna willingly go back into change. We gonna willingly put ourselves back into slavery. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. I think Michael Jackson said it best. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us. I'm trying to tell you. But the main agenda that needs to be focused on is the unification of the black family. Without the unification of the black family, then we are doomed to be back in chains once again. We go to war with each other before we go to war against someone else. Pay attention. I put it in the sense of that Tekashi 6ix9ine. This Hispanic was able to infiltrate a blood gang full of all blacks, go around all blacks and infiltrate that, separate them, have them go to war with each other, and get they ass on locked up, lock each other up, get each one of their brothers locked up and implicated in more crimes. And this Hispanic, who's really an offspring or a spinoff of the European, have all those brothers locked up while he about to be out free. That's because the black family is not unified. If the black family had unification, that would have never fly. That would have never flew, excuse me. Because we all have to come to a table before we add someone as an asset or a key piece to our culture. Culture is key. Culture is key. And we'll just let anyone buy culture. We'll let anyone take over culture. Technically, hip-hop is already taken over, which means our culture is already taken over, which means our babies are being fed a culture that is from black but is manufactured through the white. Like when they took the coca leaf and they manufactured it through a plant and they made cocaine. Right now what they're doing with hip-hop, they took the leaf of hip-hop, they're remanufacturing it, and they put it out here like cocaine. It's killing our seeds. Pay attention. Pay attention.
That's what I came to terms with. Like, as much as knowledge as I kept grasping and grabbing for, the more I kept realizing, dang, I really don't know nothing. Every time I kept learning something, and it became very exciting. So the way a child would play a video game for 10, 15 hours, it almost has to say stop. That's how I got when I got conscious. I can't believe the vast supply of information that was just out here, and how so many people of the same demographic would not even know. You know, it was like, this information isn't really the hardest thing to assess. We're not exactly in the times of Marcus Garvey or Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're in a very technological era. This information, for the most part, is easily accessible once someone puts you on the right path. And it was very scary to find out that the difference between the life I was living, which was ultimately going to turn to death or heavy incarceration, or the progressive lifestyle that I'm living today, the only difference or distinction would be the connect between the right information and the poor information, you know. And that's why I'm on Boss Mode right now, because I realized that the best thing that I could do would be to demonstrate that which I know by example. So it's not enough to just be able to educate brothers and sisters on what's the right thing to do. I need to show them what it looks like once you do the right thing. That's what I'm into. So sometimes people say, man, I'm materialistic. I'm buying cars that cost $150,000 to $300,000, all straight out on, I own all my cars, you know. But I've also learned anything that I spend a lot of money on, it stands to reason that I should also be able to monetize it, turn into a business. So I bought so many cars, I started renting my cars out. So yeah, people are half right, or it's a half truth when they say I'm driving around on car rentals. These are my cars and I rent them out. Okay, so $2,500 deposit, $2,000 you get for a day, $5 after every 50 miles. You know, because I bought so many cars, it made sense for me to rent them out, turn it into a business. I go to a lot of basketball games, I sit courtside. So what I wound up doing, I learned from Mayweather as well. Just going to games and seeing TMT on the floor. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, what does this really mean? You know what I'm saying? And of course, bumping into him and several other individuals over and over after a while. Shout out to him, he's a phenomenal person. In real life, he's actually a very dope brother. You know, a lot of the bravado and everything that he does is for Brandon. But he's a very, very intellectual brother. And he's way more smarter than people give him credit for. You know, our measure of intelligence shouldn't always be exclusive to what college degree or credentials you have. Could that be the case, I wouldn't be too bright myself because I dropped out of school 10th grade. But I realize I'm in great company with a lot of people who don't have credentials, who hire people who do to run their businesses. You know, that's just the way this food game works right now. A lot of people who have not put themselves to task to go through several degrees in school, they may not have the accolades. However, they hire the people who do have them, and they happen to be the bosses at the end of the day. Like the person who runs the hospital or owns the hospital, I doubt they're able to make incisions in people's bodies to perform surgery, but they own the hospital and they make their monies nonetheless. This is just a reality. You know, a lot of the companies that are owned, they're owned by people who are not, or who haven't made suitable proficiency in the preceding degrees to get the accolades or the credentials thereof in order for them to facilitate that particular means. That's just the way it works. But this is not a knock towards people who go to school and get the degrees. We need you as well. It's where you find yourself. Some things is just not for everybody, but nonetheless, everyone has the right opportunity and the potential to succeed. So I went to basketball games and I realized I could rent out the seats. And so when I'm not at the game, I'm making money. And then sometimes I may go to a lesser seat that's courtside because my courtside seat is making money. And the person who buys into that just bought their ticket, bought my ticket, and I still get a little profit. So like when Kobe Bryant retired, it was like stocks going up. Once he said he was retiring, for the rest of that season, man, my seats was 8,000, even 10,000 plus at times. And I learned that because I put so much money going to the games, why not make money off of it? So some people just look at me and they think, oh, he's just buying a bunch of cars not knowing I also rent my cars out. He's going to a bunch of games. Why don't you make your money? You're giving the white man all that money, but not realizing I rent my seats out at the games. You know, while I'm here right now and the Clippers game is going on, I'm making money. And before I came here to Atlanta, which I just came from Ohio from a real estate development endeavor that I have with my partner. Prior to that, my last day in LA, I was at the Clippers game. A few hours later, I flew out to Ohio, stayed in Ohio for 48 hours, came out here working on Victoria Lamont's EPK, as I also manage artists now, because I mentor so many people in sports, music, and entertainment who say, yo, anything you need, Polite, I got you. I say, you know what I can do? I can leverage my relationships with these celebrities and very successful brothers and sisters. And what I can do is find talent And then I can barter or network with these people. I don't necessarily have to ask people for $5,000 or $10,000. It's like, yo, studio time. Oh, you know what? I appreciate the fact you feel empowered or have been empowered by my message of holistic health or real estate or whatever the case may be when I'm mentoring. What you can do for me in exchange is get your artists to collaborate with my artists. So people who are jealous and frustrated with this situation say, I'm just doing nothing but photo ops. I'm a groupie. I've never seen a groupie able to get as much as pictures in people's homes like I have, or at certain events. You know, groupies, there's an expiration or a limitation to what they're able to accomplish by photo ops. You know, but this is what you got to deal with our people at the end of the day. But what I've learned was how to leverage those relationships and not have a linear approach towards what my skill set is, but to realize in whatever atmosphere I'm in, how I could possibly diversify my talent.
We back again, Cross Visions Podcast, Episode 5. I'm glad you listened to that commercial break. That was Brother Polite. He always dropping knowledge. He always keeping it real. Now we're about to jump back into another topic again of black entrepreneurship. And for my reference, I want to use the new Eddie Murphy movie that just came out called Dolemite. You know, where he played a comedian named Rudy Ray Moore. Some people may be beyond past your time. Some people may know what I'm talking about. But Rudy Ray Moore, he created a character called Dolemite. His character was based off a bum that he seen in the street that he thought was funny. But he created a character off that to put something on stage to make people laugh as a comedian. I'm telling you this story because it gets great. It gets great. Listen. So, as he makes it big, this character called Dolemite on stand-up comedy strips, he thinks to put out his own comedy album. No one would support him. He's a black man. No one would support him. Except for a couple of his friends. So inside of a small room, they invited people over and they recorded his own comedy album, which he produced himself. You know, he copied it on other vinyl disc, packaged it up, put a stamp on it, and sold it out trunk of his car. Sold it so much that major record labels, A&Rs, were riding through the neighborhoods just to hear what people. New things people were doing or listening to, and they heard his comedy soundtrack bumping out of the houses of everyone. So I say this to say this. After that, he got a major deal, which a publishing company took him on to create at least three albums. He created at least three albums and made a lot of money. But he decided to make his own movie. He believed in himself. No one would back him. He sold the royalties to all his comedy albums from that major distribution label back to them just for the front money to do his own movie. The movie was called Dolemite. He put friends together, people together, all black to make this movie, and he believed in it. When it first hit, no one would accept the movie. Universal, nobody. Nobody would take the movie. So he four-walled it. He went to a theater, which he paid $500 and, you know, through a connect, they had him air it, and he advertised for people to come through, and he got the door sales, you know, the ticket prices. Well, the movie was a hit, and people were continuously going to see this. And his numbers showed out to where another company was willing to take his movie and put it in major theaters across the United States. Now, I say that for this. The entire story, he took his own will, own money, believed in himself, even though in the beginning of the movie, he was a failed artist, he tried to be a singer, he tried to be a comedian before he came up with the act he came up with, failed at that. He failed, but he kept trying, and he also took it in his own hands to create something, package it up, and sell it. Using also his friends, the people around him, your real friends. Your real friends will help you in the time of need and will build with you because they want to see you succeed. Because you succeeding is like them succeeding. That's black entrepreneurship. You got to excuse me for stumbling over my words and everything during this podcast. But this is some helly information I'm trying to get out to you guys. And if you understand the message behind the story, it's basically never give up. Never quit and always believe in yourself And you don't need a major label. You don't need major platforms to be the outlet to getting whatever you see fit, whether it be clothes you design, music you come up with, invention or whatever, to get out to the masses. It takes the ingenuity of you to get that out to the masses. And once you realize that, everything will flourish from then on. You know, the movie Dolemite that Eddie Murphy shot, it really had me inspired. It really had me inspired. You know, I'm working on the movie myself, and I hope that in working on this movie and building this movie and four-walling it to where I can get it out to the masses on YouTube, I can be able to continue my black entrepreneurship and believe in myself, and I offer more people to take the same strategy and believe in their self. Any idea you come up with is not a wrong idea. For real. How is it wrong? Nothing. How is it impossible? Nothing is impossible. You know, but this movie, you know, it really inspired. You know, it's a black entrepreneurship, a black man who took his own money and built his own movie. Dolemite is what they call it, Dolemite. And it's just ingenuity and hard work. And he put that into his dream into reality. And by doing that, he created something that could last a lifetime. You know. And even in that movie, he said he doesn't care if he sells a lot of tickets. He doesn't care if he sells 10 tickets. He doesn't care if he sells no tickets. He told his friends, we still made a movie. He didn't say I. He said, we still made a movie. We're in it, and we still made a movie. Regardless of what the turnout is, the product that we created is what this world is about. Is what living is about. You want to create something to stand the test of time. Whether it be a legacy, whether it be a product, whether it be words of wisdom, whether it be children you have that you grow up to become a success, whether it even be a small poem that you write that's still in the notebook. We are here to create things that's supposed to stand the test of time. And once we realize that, we will put more of our ingenuity in building what we like to call our own brand. And invest more into what we like to call black entrepreneurship. Rudy Ray Moore, comedian, showed me the game. He showed me the game. And I guarantee you he showed the Master P's, the 50 Cent's, the Jay-Z's, when they're claiming the fame and how they came up to move their records. I guarantee you they took game and they took notes out of his book as well. I guarantee you that. I like to hit you with another commercial after this knowledge, but the commercial is always a great knowledge, you know? Yeah, yeah. Cross.
We can do that. I'm not saying this. I gotta say this again. It's not black against white. When I say we, it's the good against evil. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by we can take anything we want, we can have anything because it belongs to you. If you write and you got good on your side, I really truly believe that nothing can stop you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm using the same things that America taught me. That's what I'm using, the tools of this country. Capitalism and imperialism, colonialism, I'm using all those against them. And that's what they hate. You know what I'm saying? They hate to see a little black kid sitting in first class with a gang of gold chains, gold rings, you know what I'm saying? The steward is staring at me. You know what I'm saying? They hate that. They hate that shit so bad. They hate when, I get off the plane and they lugging their luggage to go find a cab and I got a car waiting for me with my name real big, big African name, Tupac. They hate that. I see it in their eyes. They hate that when they see me in the restaurant or something with a girl, it's a black woman that I'm sitting next to. They hate that. They hate it. They really hate it when it's a white woman, but they won't see it. They won't, not from Tupac. So they hate that they see me with black women. They hate that I don't say bitch, you know what I'm saying, to black females. I say bitch to white cops. And the crooked cops, that's who I say bitch to. That's who's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? They hate that. They hate that they can't limit me and hold me into one circle. They hate that every time they try to put me in the gangster category, I flip, do a somersault, and end up in the juice category. And I love that. I love that about myself, and I love that about black people. And if I can love them, I'm loving myself. I remember when I was poor, I hated myself. Now I love myself. So I see what the curse can do, and I see what it takes to get it off you. It just takes a little confidence. And that's what we're missing as black people. We let them make us feel like, you know, quiet. Again, just being quiet. You know what I'm saying? Telling you that wearing gold chains is hoochie. And that's played out because they make jokes about it. You know, boom, hoba, 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 hoba. Really, they ain't got no rhythm. So what can they tell me? How can they joke about boom, hoba, hoba, and they ain't got no rhythm? You know what I'm saying? How they gonna joke about me wearing gold chains and they wearing a fucking cougar skin? They wearing an animal skin. You know what I'm saying? And it's 20, you know, it's hot. They wearing animals, furs and shit. You know what I'm saying? How can they tell me about surviving on this planet and I've been here longer? And I can walk in the sun with no problems for as long as I want. I can enjoy the air for as long as I want. And they can't. Something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? There is a difference. For us to say that we all equal, we are all equal in terms of the rights that we should be given, but everybody is different. Everybody is unique. And you have to give black people their credits, just like we gave white people their credits.
These women were the unsung heroes of the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party was established in the 1960s to empower the black community. The group offered free breakfast for kids in impoverished neighborhoods and challenged police brutality by patrolling neighborhoods where it had occurred. When we look at old black and white photos of the Black Panther Party, we mostly see the faces of the strong male leaders. But what about the ladies, who were just as influential as the men? Let's meet the women of the Black Panther Party.
That is directly related or indirectly related to the whole scheme of still attempting to make the party look as though we're a group of hoodlums.
Elaine Brown was the chairwoman of the Black Panther Party from 1974 to 1977, and she was a political force to be reckoned with. She ran twice for a position in the Oakland City Council, the city where the Black Panther Party originated. She was a writer for the Los Angeles radical paper Harambe and carried that journalistic experience well into her years with the Panthers, when she became the editor for the party paper. Elaine still remains a well-respected member of the political black community and has written several books about her time with the party, notably A Taste of Power, which was optioned by HBO for an upcoming documentary series. Elaine founded multiple nonprofits aimed at bettering the justice system for the black community, including the National Alliance for Radical Prison Reform, which is based in Atlanta. The nonprofit oversees more than 5,000 prisoners and helps them continue to live a healthy life after their release.
This brother here, myself, all of us were born with our hair like this.
Kathleen Cleaver always kept busy as a female revolutionary. From traveling the world while working in a foreign service to being involved in the civil rights movement, Kathleen is an educated woman who was always involved in the movement one way or another. She joined the party after marrying Eldridge Cleaver and became the party's national communications secretary. Kathleen later went on to be one of the first women to be appointed to the party's central committee and helped charge the effort to release Huey P. Newton, who co-founded the party in 1966 with Bobby Seale, during his imprisonment. Kathleen wound up divorcing her husband after returning to the U.S. from an adventure in Algeria and Mexico. She now teaches at Yale University and is possibly one of the most badass Ivy League professors of all time.
When you talk about a revolution, most people think violence, without realizing that the real content of any kind of revolutionary thrust lies in the principles.
Angela Davis is probably the most recognized female member of the party, but she eventually left the Black Panthers because of the misogyny she experienced in the community. Being the independent political activist she is, Angela went on to work closely with the black communist organization Che Lumumba Club. She's a prominent feminist who has written numerous books and lectured as a professor at institutes including UCLA and the University of California, Santa Cruz, where she still teaches today. Share with the badass women you know.
We back again, Cross Vision Podcast, episode 5. Hope you like that commercial break. Shout out to my ladies. Shout out to my black women. It's about black women empowerment. Most people don't know that 65% of the Black Panther movement was all female. And without the females, we will not be able to make the moves or be able to grow as a people, as a society, as a generation, as who we are destined to be without our woman. And I know the way society or even mainstream media is trying to build our woman up, they have exploiting our women. And I know us fellas, we lost at the same token, because I don't give us excuses, but due to slavery, we're all stuck in transgressions of our minds. But I want to put this out there and say our woman is the most vulnerable person in this world, the black female, and she is the most powerful. The white man wants to take her. He wants to control her. He wants to mold her so future generations he can control. He's been doing this since early slavery. But I take this time and I take this segment, you know, and I'm closing out this episode. It was a powerful one. I hope I zoned it in for y'all. I hope I gave y'all powerful knowledge. You know, we talked about black entrepreneurship. You know, we talk about the art of self-belief. We talk about the unification of the black family. Brother Polite even came in with his business and set our mind right on how we could take our finances and put them into the right direction so that we can build and grow as the kings and queens that we are. But at the end of the day, at the end of the segment, episode 5, I've been going live. I've been having a lot of y'all supporters. I just want to shout out the women and say that as a black man, we have failed y'all. And I guarantee you that we will not continue to fail you guys. Though it may seem like there's more, as they quote unquote say, the nigga out here, you know, the one that doesn't love his woman, the one that wants to break down his woman, the one that wants to exploit his woman, though he has lost his will, there's more black men out here. They just don't want to show that. But the most precious thing is a little girl. The most precious thing is a woman. You know, James Brown said that this is a man's world, but it'd be nothing without a woman or a girl, because the woman is a key part of everything. And women, I know that we don't understand your pain. We don't understand your hurt. And I know at the same token, you may not understand ours. And though that society may try to separate us with this money, with this power, I want you to know that we still are joined together in this struggle forever. You are our queen. We love you, though we don't know how to show it, because we are conflicted by our own transgressions of what society is putting out here with the music, with the drugs, with the, you know. But it's like Pac said, we just want to know that we care, that we still think about you, you know what I'm saying? But this has been episode 5, Living Live, you know what I'm saying? My fellas, give it up for my black ladies. Let's not look at them as bitches and hoes. Even if they want to twerk and be on the pole, let's still look at them as the queen that we know they are. Because we are the ones that control this world, and they are the power behind it. So if we can't change that, then we aren't the kings and the gods that we say that we are. But I know we are the kings and the gods that we say that we are. Power to our people. Cross, episode 5. Logging out.